There is a wonderful line from a German mystic, Angelus Silesius. Of what use, Gabriel, your message to Marie, unless you can now bring the same message to me? And the great mystic, Meister Eckhart, states, it is of more worth to God that Christ should be born in the virgin's soul than that Christ should have been born in Bethlehem. Now, this is a tremendously important point. Many of the images which in our religion are dogmatically affirmed as having had historical reality are very difficult today to interpret in historical terms. For example, the Assumption of the Virgin, or the Ascension of Jesus to heaven. Where is the heaven? Our cosmology now does not permit us to entertain that thought very seriously, very long. And as a result of this collision between the historical and biological sciences, which we have to admit are ruling our lives, are giving us everything that we live by physically, the collision between these and the articles of faith have, in many people's lives, taken away from them these symbolic forms. They're rejected as untrue. Now, since the primary truth is not historical but spiritual of these, the fact that a historical rejection of the historical evidence has been achieved should not relieve us of the symbol. These symbols stem from the psyche. They speak from and to the spirit. And they are, in fact, the vehicles of communication before the deeper depths of our spiritual life and this relatively thin consciousness by which we govern our daylight existences. Now, when those symbols are taken away, those vehicles of communication between our depth and our surface lives, we are without intercom. We are split. We are schizoid. We live in a world up here, and the world down here is quite apart from it. We speak of schizophrenia when people crack up. They plunge back into the realities that are down there, which they had not been taught to know about. They're terrified. You can give yourself as a kind of basic formula. A deity is a personification of a spiritual power. And deities who are not recognized become demonic. They become dangerous. You have not been in communication with them, and when they do break through, your conscious life is overthrown. Myths derive from vision. Myths derive from the visions of people who have searched their own inward world. Out of the myths, culture forms are founded. Consider the great myth on which the whole medieval civilization was founded. The myth, and it is a mythic image. I'm speaking of it. I'm not saying it's not a fact. I'm saying it is a myth of the fall and redemption. The fall of man, the redemption of man. The whole of the medieval civilization was constructed to carry the message and grace of that redemption to the world. And then when you question the historicity of the facts on which this myth rests, or which rest upon the myth, you have a dissolution of the civilization. Actually, the medieval civilization collapses. A new civilization comes into being, based on the findings of consciousness. And at the end of the hour of my talk, I want to come to deal with that matter. Myths are like dreams, productions of the imagination. Now, there are two orders of dream. There's the simple personal dream, where you get tangled up in your own personal twists and resistances to your life and so forth, the conflict between wish and prohibition and so forth and so on, the sort of thing that's dealt with in a Freudian analysis. But then there's another level of dream, which we call vision, where one has gone past the sphere of his personal horizon and confronted the great universal problems that are those rendered in the great myths. For example, when disaster strikes, when you face great calamity, what is it that supports you and carries you through? Or do you have something that supports you and carries you through? Or does that which you thought was going to support and carry you through fail you? That is the test of the myth that is the building myth of your life.